Domingo Santana.
Big show. It is, of course, a Kokomo Friday. Just relax, everyone. Let the fantasy baseball wash over you. Adam, Scott, and Heath Cummings today. Chris Towers is on some type of vacation or something like that. Is he on vacation? He's on vacation, right?
I think that Chris is on a permanent vacation because he gets to work with us. We make his life so wonderful.
You're right. You know, that's just the kind of vibe we're throwing out on Kokomo Friday. It's also Star Wars Day. Happy Star Wars Day, Heath.
Why didn't we get one of those special intros, like dun dun?
You know,
dun, 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 dun,
I feel
dun,
like
dun. I'm gonna make up for it.
I feel like if anything we're gonna get us sued, it would be using the Star Wars music. I have no
idea,
but
they guard that property pretty closely.
Well, I will make up for it.
Okay.
I don't know when you want me to do this, but I've come up with some Star Wars team name Tuesday on a Friday team name.
Okay, I'm gonna put that in the notes after we do Risers and Fallers team name. Tuesday on a Friday Star Wars edition. Should I reach out on Twitter and see what we can get?
Well, I've got four phenomenal names. I doubt they can match me.
All right. Hey, Scott, how you doing? How's Kokomo Friday treating you?
It's just wonderful, Adam. Okay. Just wonderful. That was a great intro you had there. I feel like you practiced it maybe.
No, not really.
It was just off the cuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, you're getting better. You're getting better. 10 years into doing this, you're getting better.
Thank you. Thank you. It's
Scott is salty. Like, I haven't seen him for a week, and he walks into work with just this, the Braves are kicking everyone's ass glow about him.
All right, well, let's give our favorite week 7 two-start pitcher that's owned in 60% of leagues or less. Who should the people pick up? Or, okay, fine, 65% of leagues.
I guess, is Tyson Ross 64?
He's 68.
Oh, no. See, there were only two good ones who were owned in less than 80, which is the cutoff I use for sleepers. But I will open up that list now.
Oh, Luis Castillo is 78% owned. People, you got to pick up Luis Castillo.
Right. Yeah, no, Luis Castillo and Tyson Ross are the two that everybody needs to add for their two starts this week, because you'll probably just keep them thereafter. But,
Oh, I got one. I got one.
Go for it.
Fernando Romero. Ooh, I want to snare ya.
The problem is what I'm looking at, and this could be wrong, but it looks like he's going to match up with Carlos Martinez and Shohei Ohtani.
Whatever. Ohtani will be hurt, injured. You know that.
And the Angels are the best offense in the world, right?
No, not at all. The Yankees are. I own Romero in four leagues, as I mentioned yesterday. I don't know if I wish he were a one-start pitcher, if that makes sense, because I, you know, especially in categories.
You don't want the pressure of starting him.
Exactly.
What you're saying.
I don't want it to go badly twice, but that's somebody I would at least pick up to stash. All right, so you tell me, is there anyone out there that is the best ad in less than 65% of leagues?
It's awful. It's an awful, awful group of pitchers to choose from this week.
Yeah, if you're forcing me to choose according to that standard, I might go Romero, actually. You know, Lucas Giolito was pretty good Wednesday, but in a way I don't necessarily trust. So,
you know what?
And we know when things go badly for him, they go very badly.
I'm going to get Crazy Town Banana Pants.
All right.
This guy is owned by the team Crazy Town Banana Pants in our For the People podcast league. Jeremy Hellickson has two starts, and one of them is at the Padres.
That is pretty banana pants.
That's going too strong. You go too hard after the matchups, Heath.
I would rather,
true DFS guy.
I would rather start Jeremy Hellickson at San Diego and at the Humidor than I would Fernando Romero.
Come on. That's ridiculous.
How about Harlan Garcia?
No.
I don't know him.
Dude, I'm pronouncing it right. It's Harlan the Marlin. I know you want me to say Harleen, but it's Harlan.
It's just
Garcia.
That's a marketing tool. It's Harleen.
Fine. Well, how about Jay Garcia at the Cubs and against the Braves?
Could be Jaime, but it's not Jaime.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. He is fool's gold.
He's behind Hellickson for me.
One day you're going to be able to play the fool you clip
for Harlan.
But Star Wars Day is probably not the right day to do that.
All right, then. We'll move on. We'll talk more two-star pitchers later. Extremely important correction. This comes from Jake from Atlanta and about 10 other people. OTP does not stand for on the plains or on the prairie or whatever I said. It stands for outside the perimeter, meaning
yep.
I-285 is basically a circle that surrounds the city of Atlanta. People say OTP when they're talking about the suburbs as opposed to downtown. Scott didn't know that. That is pathetic.
I didn't know that.
I thought everybody knew
I
that.
Spent my first 22 years in Atlanta.
Did you live OTP or ITP?
I lived OTP. I lived OTP.
Scott's down with OTP.
Yeah, he is. Sure is. Okay, let's get into risers and fallers. Then we'll do Team Name Tuesday on a Friday. We've got big news. For some reason, Jacob deGrom is going to try to pitch on Monday. Ah! Walker Buehler looks like he'll be in the rotation. We've got Fantasy Skywalkers and Fantasy Vaders. Good and bad. And 15 emails in 5 minutes. That'll be a fun segment. And most added list, who to add, who to drop, as we get you ready for week 7. Two risers. Scott White, give me two risers.
Okay, Adam, how about Kurt Suzuki as a riser?
Let's do it.
Since Braves. Tyler Flowers returned, he has still been the Braves' primary catcher. He is doing all the things he did last year in a way that we thought was unsustainable just because he'd never done it before with the power. Struck out 6 times all year. The Braves have a really good thing going offensively. He's a big part of it. While Tyler Flowers is an excellent pitch framer and pretty good on base guy, I don't see him even getting it to the point of a 50-50 split if Kurt Suzuki continues to do the things he's doing.
Would you drop Evan Gattis for Kurt Suzuki?
Somebody asked. No, actually, yeah, they asked either Francisco Cervelli, who you know I like, or Suzuki for Gattis. And I mean, in the long run, I think Gattis is still going to have the better season. I still rank him higher. If it's a league where, you know, so few catchers are rostered that both Cervelli and Suzuki can still be available, you could probably get away with playing the hot hand. And we'll pick up Gattis later.
All right, Scott, who's your other riser?
My other riser, how about we go with Luis Castillo, who I didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday, and I really wanted to.
Oh, yeah, you're all in. I saw the tweets. Gotcha.
Yeah, so of course it would take the Reds firing their manager, who was previously their pitching coach, to discover that Castillo was messed up mechanically. Like, I don't know what Brian Price was doing, but Jim Riggleman, who was not a former pitching coach, at least I don't think, he's been talking about it for the last week, how video shows that Luis Castillo's arm slot was different from last year, putting some work in between his previous start and this most recent one Wednesday. Riggleman said the changeup was one of the pitches that was affected the most. We know that's Castillo's best pitch. And he was racking up swinging strikes against the Brewers, wasn't having the control issues he had in his earlier starts. He did give up a lot of hits, but hits are among the least predictive stats. I think he's really good, and the fact he's only 78% owned shows that people don't listen to us, because we've been saying he's good all along.
All right. That's Luis Castillo, who is either an add if he's on your waiver wire or a buy low. And I just want to say this, because we're getting a lot of questions about him. He is part of the 15 emails in 5 minutes segment, but we'll do it now. Guys, Brian Dozier, people are freaking out. Dozier's been, since a really, really hot start, he's been terrible. Just go back, look at April 2016, look at April 2017. He's a slow starter, a very slow starter. Are you worried about Brian Dozier, who has one hit in his last 5 starts?
Nope.
Yeah, all right, so that's another guy. I will be putting buy low offers out, because somebody just said to me, I could get Brian Dozier for Christian Villanueva. Should I do it? Yeah, absolutely. I will be putting better buy low offers out than that for Brian Dozier. Heath, a couple risers from you.
J-Hap, I have doubted you for what seems like almost half a decade now, and I'm done doing it. J-Hap is off to a phenomenal start. He's got a 3.5 ERA, and he's been unlucky. You look at his peripherals, they are all lower than that. His strikeouts have gone crazy town banana pants. 34% K rate. He's a career 21 to 22% guy. He's walking no one. He's getting more swinging strikes than he ever has. He has a 2.56 XFIP, a 2.49 Sierra. He's doing all of the things.
Without being on the Astros.
Without being on the Astros.
Yeah.
So he probably, though, is just putting – we'll have to check his spin rate and ask Trevor Bauer what it
looks
like.
All right. So we got another email this morning. Would you rather have Jay Happ, Mike Foltynewicz, Miles Michaelis? Pick one of those three.
Happ is not in the same neighborhood as those two for me.
Okay.
Michaelis is in the same neighborhood as Happ for me, but I actually think I would prefer Michaelis slightly, just because we've seen stretches like this from Happ in the past, and all I'm seeing that's leading to this change in production is quotes saying he's pitching up in the zone more.
But
the hot zones sort of back it up, but not in a really obvious way.
Aren't we kind of hoping that Michaelis can be what Happ has been the last 3 years?
No, I don't know that. I mean, Michaelis is one of the elite control pitchers in baseball. So I don't know. I don't know that that's an even comparison at all.
All right, Jay Happ is a riser. Who else, Heath? Jose Peraza.
Jose Peraza. He is starting to look more like the player we all hoped he was going to be last year and never turned into. And I'm kind of digging it. I think Peraza could be a good source of batting average, a good source of runs, a good source of steals. He's got five of those already. He seems pretty locked into that spot in the batting order right in front of Joey Votto. And I don't know why he wouldn't hit close to 290.
Okay, somebody out of $250 a budget, somebody bid $120 on Jose Peraza in my league. That seems like
a lot.
Yeah, that was C-Town B-Pants right there. But I did put in like a $22 bid for him, but not $120. So I didn't get him, but yes. Jose Peraza is a riser. Would you rather have Ian Kinsler or Jose Peraza?
Kinsler.
Peraza and Roto.
Alrighty. Couple of fallers. Heath Cummings.
Yeah, I sent in fallers, and then I was told that they weren't good enough, but I'm going to use them anyway.
You can't use one. Fine. I will rip one of them to shreds.
Okay, Miguel Cabrera. Here's the thing. He's still hitting the ball hard. He still looks like a good hitter, but he's battled. He's played through injuries for, what, 4 years? 5 years? He has some nagging injury each and every year, and he's never been in the best physical condition in the first place. He's hurt again. He came back from a bicep injury on Thursday, left with a hamstring injury. He's old, and you just kind of wonder, like, it made sense for him to play through all of those injuries when he was on a team that was playing for something. He's playing for nothing, and he's got, like, $400 billion guaranteed over the next two decades. I am very worried about Miguel Cabrera just being on the field.
Yeah, this is the third. I'm pretty sure this is the third time he's now left with an injury. He hasn't missed significant time yet, but I share your concerns about Miggy. And
it's worth noting he's been very good. He's been better than I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah, no, I was very big on him. I have him on a lot of teams, and he's playing well. But he actually DH'd yesterday, too. So I can't even be like, well, they should just DH him. Because he DH'd and he got hurt. And he was running the base. He's going to second base. So, all right, anyway, Miggy's one. And then this one is like, okay, yeah, go ahead, Heath.
This one is extremely important. It's someone that we need to talk about. Because a lot of people drafted Greg Holland hoping that he would be on a team. And then they've stashed Greg Holland thinking he'll eventually become the closer. And I'm just wondering if we're getting closer to time to think Greg Holland might not become a closer.
Yeah. How would you drop Greg Holland? How droppable is he?
I could see a situation where I drop Greg Holland, but it would have to be a situation where the closer that I got as my third closer was someone that I just feel much more confident in than I did when I made that move. Like most of the situations that I have where I have Greg Holland, Walker Buehler is my other relief pitcher. And I feel pretty good about that for the next month.
Yeah, I mean, you know, standard head-to-head lineup, you're not going to hold on to a backup closer, right?
I've held on to one in at least one league.
Who?
Who is?
Holland.
Oh, Holland. Oh,
well, yeah. I mean, I had two until the latest news that, you know, they're just going to They're not going to keep trying him in the role for now. They're going to stick with Bud Norris for now. You know, that could always change. It's why in leagues where saves are scarce on the waiver wire, you probably shouldn't have dropped Greg Holland. He's probably among the best second choices to close in baseball still. But for the foreseeable future, it looks like Bud Norris.
All right, Scott, who are your fallers?
Marwin Gonzalez.
Hey, that's
one of them. I don't know if I've used him before for this one.
No, but he was somebody I said I was worried about yesterday. So please proceed, Marwin.
Yeah, so last year, what made him a fantasy asset was the sudden development of power that he hadn't shown previously in his career. And this year he has reverted to the previous standard, only 2 home runs and 123 plate appearances. And I just worry that that aspect of his skill set was a fluke. I still think he's going to be a pretty good on-base guy, make enough contact that, you know, he's never going to be completely out of the Astros' plans. But if he's not, like, they have a lot of hitters everywhere. A lot of hitters in the minors waiting to break in all over the diamond. And Marwin Gonzalez is a big piece that's standing in their way. And I'm just not sure he's going to be a full-timer. And that'll be good enough to roster if he is. So Marwin Gonzalez is a big-time faller for me. He's still, I still prefer him to, like, Scott Kingery and... I'm trying to think of who the other super versatile guys are.
Eduardo Nunez.
I prefer Eduardo Nunez to
Gonzalez. Asdrubal Cabrera.
I should probably prefer Asdrubal Cabrera. I don't know my rankings reflect that, but I probably should. Based on what I'm saying here.
Who's your other faller?
My other faller's Danny Duffy. And I say this recognizing and acknowledging that there are some encouraging undercurrents for Danny Duffy. The velocity that we were worried about at the beginning is pretty much back. The first inning struggles he had early, they've mostly gone away. The control issues have mostly gone away, and yet he's still having bad starts for a very bad team. And the second part is a big reason I'm going ahead and lowering in my rankings, because even if he bounces back to who he was last year, he's less than a strikeout per inning guy on a bad team. So what's the ultimate upside here? Maybe a top 50 starting pitcher. I think at some point, if you drop Danny Duffy for some flavor of the week, Mike Soroka, Nick Kingham, whatever, at some point, somebody in your league is going to want to add Danny Duffy again, but I don't think it'll be immediately. And there's a good chance you could be the one who had him again.
The only thing is he's a 2-star pitcher next week, right?
Yeah. And his matchups are at Baltimore and at Cleveland for Daniel Duffy, 73% owned.
It's like, would you just automatically start him with those 2 starts?
Heck, because no way.
In a points league with Baltimore being one of the matchups, I might.
Okay. Well, it's not automatic. I mean, you might, right? You might, but it's not automatic. I would start Fernando Romero over him. I dropped Duffy for Romero. I was thinking about making a buy low offer on Duffy of Reynaldo Lopez, but I hadn't really considered, yeah, he might not win many games because that team is terrible.
Yeah.
I do want to get Reynaldo Lopez.
I think he's
Lopez.
A good buy low candidate. I just think in certain formats, like he's too low to even need to buy low on him. Like, he shouldn't cost you anything because he's below rosterable level.
I would like to get Reynaldo Lopez off my teams if possible. I mean, he's got 4 strikeouts in his last 3 starts. But we'll talk more about him a little bit later.
He's bad.
All right.
He's not bad, but
no,
I know somebody on Twitter is going to jump on all over me for that flippant 2-word sentence. He's bad. He has not been as good as his ERA would suggest.
Exactly. So that's Reynaldo Lopez we're talking about. All right. Team name Tuesday on a Friday, Heath. What do you got? And then we'll see if the listeners have anything better.
Now, I'm not a huge Star Wars guy, so I had put a lot of thought into this, did a lot of research, and I came up with 4 names that I think are just fantastic. I hope that you guys will agree. The USS Enterprise. The Kling Deongs.
Wait, that's a Star
Captain
Trek.
Captain James T.
I think you're missing the joke.
Jerk O. Captain James T. Jerk.
These are all
they
Star
all
Trek.
Are.
Okay.
And then I think the best one, Beam Me Up, Piscotty.
Beam Me Up, Piscotty. That's actually pretty good. Now for some real Star Wars team names.
What do you mean?
That was appreciated. I didn't know what the first one was because I'm not a Star Wars guy either, and I'm definitely not a Star Trek guy. So,
the USS Enterprise is?
I do now, but I was thrown off because I was expecting Star Wars, so I didn't quite get it. I've never seen Star Trek.
Have you ever seen Star Wars?
I did. Not until last year. No, I saw it when I was a kid and I hated it. I thought it was like the most boring movie ever. The original episode 4, A New Hope. I watched it again last year and I was like, you know, this is pretty good. I get it. I get why people like Star Wars. It was great.
I had the exact opposite experience.
No, it's really
good. I loved it as a kid, but I was more mature than you when I saw it. So that makes sense. I tried to show it to my kids a couple of years ago, and holy wow.
You didn't like it?
Oh, we made it. We did not finish the, no.
Now, I've been told that episode 4 doesn't really hold up, but Empire Strikes Back is incredible. And I still have Empire Strikes Back on my DVR. I'm waiting to watch it. I haven't had the opportunity.
I don't mind getting shredded on Twitter for this opinion. You ready?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Star Wars is overrated. Now,
I think we all do.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Now, when people hear overrated, they assume I'm saying bad. Star Wars is not bad. Star Wars is pretty good. They're pretty good, fun movies, right? I feel like the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. The universe that was created, the rules therein are interesting, and you know, the character, all the ways the characters have been repurposed it's interesting. But I mean, the plot lines are, I don't know, nothing to write home about, right?
We're losing a lot of listeners today, guys. A lot. All right, let's get them back. Here are some team names just from the last 15 minutes. Darth Hader, Wookiee Betts, Ewok Rate, Pitching the Sith, like pitching the sixth inning, Han Solo Shot, Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, I don't think I get that one, Attack of the Clones, The Phantom Yoedis, Wookiee of the Year, Darth Vader. These are pretty good. And Starlin Wars. There you go. Starlin Wars. We'll end with that. All right, let's talk about SeatGeek, everybody. The best app. I'm thinking about going to the Yankees game this weekend. They're playing the Indians. Should be a nice little series. Today is Aaron Judge, like, Jedi bobblehead day because it's May the 4th. Don't think I'll get to the game today, but if I go this weekend, I will be using SeatGeek to get there, and I want to tell you about two promo codes. First promo code is FANTASY. Use that promo code FANTASY, $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Hey, but Adam, I already used FANTASY. Okay, but you're still using the SeatGeek app because it finds you the best deals. And we've got another promo code for you if you want to go to a baseball game. Use the promo code TODAY for $10 off all MLB tickets. So you can either use FANTASY, if it's your first SeatGeek purchase, $20 off, or the promo code TODAY for $10 off MLB tickets. So that's pretty awesome. FANTASY for $20 off, TODAY for $10 off MLB purchases. SeatGeek is an awesome app. I've got it on my phone. I use it all the time. Make it your go-to app for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. You are going to get the best prices because SeatGeek searches multiple sites and brings in the best deals for you. Again, download that SeatGeek app and use the promo code FANTASY for $20 off your first purchase or the promo code TODAY for $10 off your baseball tickets. Alrighty, the big news. Jacob DeGrom may try to pitch on Monday. I guess we could talk about it on Monday, but are you going to feel comfortable starting DeGrom in a two-start? I don't know. I thought it was a two-start week. Should be, right?
I don't think the Mets should feel comfortable starting him in a two-start week. And I'm skeptical he'll actually make two starts and that he won't just wind up on the DL. I think I hope there's a sobering that happens there because I worry about the integrity of his elbow.
Of course.
if he's pitching again.
I just can't imagine why anybody would doubt anyone associated with the Mets making medical decisions. They've shown in the past that they know how to handle young pitchers.
I mean, they have new coaching staff. They have a new medical staff. I felt like this stuff wasn't going to happen anymore.
Hey, maybe we're overreacting, and maybe we're unfairly associating the new staff with the old staff. You know?
I know one doctor on Twitter agreed with me.
Oh, the actual doctor.
Not Dr. Mike Tanner. Okay. Some other doctor who's always liking my stuff.
Dr. Mike Tanner's been, I guess, pretty right about Daniel Murphy,
yes,
right?
He has. Yeah. To answer the question, Adam, if he's starting on Monday, I'm starting him, and I just hope that his elbow will live long and prosper.
All right, Walker Buehler is the logical choice to replace Hyunjin Ryu, who is going to be out until after the All-Star break. Heath and I talked about Buehler yesterday, but he is 67% owned. I think we have some Buehler questions later. Steven Souza is back, and Steven Souza is about 65-66% owned. This is a guy who I think he was drafted probably in 90% of leagues. Do you think Steven Souza is under-owned? He's available in about a third of CBS Sports leagues.
Yeah, that's probably all roto leagues, obviously, five outfielders needs to be on.
Adrian,
he probably already is if he's 66% owned.
Yeah.
You get to head-to-head, three outfielders, and, you know, if you're talking a points league, all those strikeouts, he might deserve to be like 70% owned.
Okay. Not far off. Adrian Beltre making progress, and Yoan Moncada was available to pinch hit yesterday. Let's do Fantasy Skywalkers and Fantasy Vaders. And a lot of this comes from the Indians-Blue Jays doubleheader. And we actually got a tweet from JL. Is this Indians-Jays doubleheader a fantasy baseball bonanza? Heath, is it a bonanza?
We are going to keep that word out of this podcast.
Okay, you got to have to listen to Fantasy Football today to get on that inside joke. Fantasy Skywalkers! I'm just going to read a bunch of names that are Indians and Blue Jays. Francisco Lindor, he is now the number two shortstop in points, number three in roto. He's 13 for 28 with three homers in his last five games. Josh Donaldson came off the DL and homered in both games of the doubleheader. And Yonhervis Solarte, man, grand slam, 8 for 10 with seven RBIs and two homers. Michael Brantley, 4 for 8 with two doubles. Brantley's been hitting well lately. He's 86% owned. So Lindor, Donaldson, Brantley. I don't know if there's anybody I'm forgetting from that game that's worth mentioning. But what do you guys think about those Skywalkers?
Well, Solarte was the big winner of the day, right? Even though he busted his lip in the first game and was playing with a Band-Aid mustache the rest of the day. He had eight hits. How many home runs overall? Two?
Yes.
And his bat, it was a 27.5 point day in our standard scoring format.
Wow.
For Yonhervis Solarte, and his batting average rose in the one day from 238 to 287. He entered the day with a 222 BABIP, so I think it's more appropriate where he is now. He's on like a 45 homer pace. That's obviously too good to be true, but he's a solid power hitter with, you know, really good plate discipline, who with Devin Travis now in the minors, I don't see him becoming the reserve we feared he'd be at the start of the year. I think if he's your shortstop, you're in good shape.
Solarte is eligible where? Second base, shortstop?
Second, third, and short.
Oh, wow. All right, so he's Asdrubal Cabrera. Would you rather have Asdrubal or Solarte?
I like Solarte more.
Peraza or Solarte?
Solarte.
Peraza.
He loves Peraza.
I do love Peraza.
You love those singles hitters.
Ozzie Albies or... No, he loves steals. Ozzie Albies or Josh Donaldson?
He does love steals. I hope he doesn't let you down. Josh Donaldson or Ozzie Albies, you said?
Yep.
What did you say?
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what you said?
That's what I said. I'm setting booby traps.
Okay. All right. That's actually tougher than I thought it'd be. I'm going to say Donaldson.
Heath?
Albies.
Okay. And I don't blame you.
Did anybody get the reference I just dropped? That's what I said. I'm setting booby traps?
Nope.
Really?
Was it from Star Wars?
From Goonies.
Oh.
Goonies.
Overrated.
Oh, shut up, Scott. Now you're overrated.
I can't hear any of the dialogue. They needed to mic up those kids better.
I think I got that. I hope I got that quote right. Okay.
Probably not, because they weren't mic'd up very well.
Yeah, I got that right. So another Skywalker is Nomar Mazara. Mazara has homered in three straight games. Before this three-game stretch, He was not doing very well. He had a 284, 333, 404 slash line. But now he is the number 21 outfielder in both formats. Still no steals. He has two steals in his career. But hitting lefties this year, is Nomar Mazara breaking out? Heath.
You know, sometimes a feeling is all we humans have to go on. And that's kind of all we've been going on for the last couple of years with Nomar Mazara. But I do feel like it's finally happening. It's really rare for a player to be even an average hitter at the age that he was an average major league hitter. We've been projecting some growth on him that he has yet to exhibit, but I believe he's starting to exhibit it.
Here's the problem. 25.3 fly ball rate.
That is a low number.
You know, everything we read about Eric Hosmer, we've talked about it with Christian Yelich, but they're both better hitters in other ways than Mazara is. I don't, just because he's homered in three straight games, I'm not ready to change my opinion on Mazara. I know.
Like, he's got an 800 OPS and he's hitting 285.
He has a low 800 OPS. What does that mean in today's game?
Yeah, it's not that good, especially with zero steals for an outfielder.
He got a 37% hard contact rate.
I mean, he deserves to be starting in five outfielder leagues. That was true even before he homered in three straight games.
Yeah, I think
but
maybe
in three outfielder leagues, no.
Julio Teheran's a fantasy Skywalker. He's 78% owned. He was flirting with a no-hitter. Seven innings, two hits, no runs, two walks, six strikeouts at the fading New York Mets. 15 swinging strikes. So he's been very good now. I think it's five starts for Julio Teheran. His last five have been good. 78% owned, so he's right there with Luis Castillo. They have the same ownership percentage. Are they in the same class?
No. I say that really quickly, and I want to clarify that I'm encouraged by what Julio Teheran has done lately. And he pitches for the best team in baseball now, so he's going to get a lot of wins.
That wasn't me saying that.
But Luis Castillo has top 15 upside.
Yeah. It was a dumb question, but it had to be asked.
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked the dumb question.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to call you dumb.
No, I called myself dumb.
What's worth pointing out, like, Julio Teheran, his velocity's down this year, like a couple miles per hour. But the changeup and slider have been so much more effective than last year, when he just wasn't getting any swings and misses on them at all, that I think overall this has been what we're seeing from Teheran is positive development, even with the velocity down. Like, he's back to being a guy you would automatically start with two starts, I think, and, you know, play the matchups with one start.
Is he a two-star pitch? I actually don't think
I don't think he is,
no.
But I'm saying he will be again, and you'll automatically start him.
One day he is going to get two starts in the same week.
Okay, so those are your Skywalkers. Here are your Vaders, your fantasy Vaders. Ken Giles. What?
Darth Vader was also a Skywalker. I just want to... Oh, spoiler alert.
I know he's his father. I mean, if that's what you're spoiling. Yeah.
His name was Skywalker.
Okay. Well, you get the point.
Fantasy... I don't know if it's like there's like a legal name change that happens when you go to the dark side.
I'm not sure. He's a really great bad guy, though.
Controversial probably the opinion. Most famous bad guy ever.
Yeah, I'd say so. Although I don't know that you can find a more evil bad guy than, what's his name? Ramsey? Whatever his freaking name is from Game of Thrones. Why can't I? I'm blanking on his name. But everybody knows who I'm talking about. Yeah, Ramsey Bolton. Oh my gosh. Absolutely amazing bad guy.
I mean, the best bad guy of all time, in my personal opinion, is Ben Linus from Lost.
I don't know. Thank you for spoiling Lost for me, Scott. All right, fantasy Vaders. Fantasy bad guys. Ken Giles, bad guy. Did not get called upon for the save in the ninth after punching himself in the face. Will Harris was awful. Brad Peacock came in and was actually good, but he gave up Will Harris's runs. Chris Devensky pitched the eighth and should have pitched the ninth. And, your read on the Astros closers.
I feel the same way I did about it a week and a half ago. There was a short period of time where I started to feel more optimistic that maybe Giles had figured things out, and then he was Ken Giles again. So I think Ken Giles still leads the Astros in saves this year. I think he's not in the top 12 in baseball.
Okay. Carlos Carrasco was a fantasy Vader. Two terrible starts in a row. Went back this morning and looked at last year's game log. He had two stretches of... three bad starts in four, or three bad starts in five. He has bad starts. Kind of holds Carrasco back more than you would expect from him. Did have 20 swinging strikes, though. But Scott, your thoughts on Carlos Carrasco, fantasy Vader, Carlos Carrasco.
How many swinging strikes did you say he had?
20.
Yeah, that is an elite number. It's probably only happened, I don't know, 12 to 15 times this year. That's just totally up top of mind. I could be wrong there, but I pay pretty close attention to that, and that's my sense.
Be careful, because insufficient facts always invite danger.
Yes, they do. But, like, it was a season high. Like, whatever, he's good. It's a couple of bad starts in a row. I'm not worried about him if he's missing that many bats.
Okay. And David Price is a fantasy Vader that we might be worried about. The Red Sox talking about there's not enough separation and velocity in his pitches. His David Price, okay, so these were his velocities according to MLB.com. Two-seamer, 92.2. Cutter, 88. Four-seamer, 92.1. Changeup, 86.4. And Alex Cora said Price might have to throw more curveballs to keep hitters honest. Yeah, he looked terrible yesterday. Now, the last three runs that he gave up were probably not his fault. He got hosed on a call that should have ended an inning. Still, it was a bad start, and it's not looking good right now for David Price. Fantasy Vader David Price, who's worried?
Oh, I'm worried.
Yeah, I'm worried. Not so much about the velocity, because the two starts prior to this one, it was, you know, he averaged like 94 on his fastball. But they weren't good starts, and he's only had one quality start this year. And with all the injury, with the injury history, and I mean, I don't know that he's going to get back to being an ace when at the start of the year, I at least allowed for that possibility. But I don't think he's like droppable or even close to that.
Would you rather have David Price or Luis Castillo?
Price.
I definitely had Price ahead of Castillo before yesterday.
Yeah.
But they are, they're both in that top 30, but not top 20 range.
Would you rather have Price or Clevenger? I guess it's Price then.
Price.
Yep.
I don't think I don't think I can start Price next week at the
that's
Yankees.
That's the thing. Like he's another bad start from dropping to like where Sonny Gray is now.
Well, he's gonna still have the bad start. He's always bad against the Yankees. I mean, he's just like they own him.
Yeah.
All right, and then that's it for our Fantasy Vaders. We've got a lot of emails to get to, and most added, most dropped, other players to consider adding and dropping. You should be adding to your phone the Draft app. I am getting better on the Draft app. I have finished fifth out of five, two straight days, so making progress. Yesterday I had Sean Manaea, only 7 points. Manny Machado and Nelson Cruz had big games for me. Caris Davis was okay, and unfortunately Max Kepler was a big zero. But there's only four night games, so you know Max Kepler kind of had to dig a little bit deeper. It was challenging. It was fun. And I might start playing expert mode where you take away some of the best players, make it a little bit harder. Maybe I'll have more success there. But all of you can have plenty of success on Draft. Download the Draft app or go to draft.com. And if you want a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit, use the promo code FB today. Promo code is FB today. That will get you that free entry into a real money baseball draft. It will also get you following me, Big Cane 2 on Draft, Big Cane 2 on Draft. And then you'll see the drafts I post, and we can compete against each other. But you can do baseball, you can do basketball, PGA, NFL, hockey, but a bunch of stuff on the Draft app. You can play for cold hard cash, get paid out the next day. Drafts start from just $1. You're doing snake drafts, and they are very quick and very fun. So download that Draft app and use the promo code FB today. News and notes. Ichiro transitioning to a front office role. Not officially retiring. He should probably retire. Logan Forsyth set for a rehab assignment. Zach Davies on the DL with rotator cuff inflammation. Is this going to get Woodruff in the rotation?
I hope so. They have so many bad starting pitchers.
Hader? Is it going to get Hader in the rotation?
No, I don't think they're close to doing that.
I'm still hoping that's a post-All-Star break push for the pennant move.
Okay. Steve Pierce is on the DL with a strained side muscle. Wellington Castillo is day-to-day with lower abdomen pain. And, all right, here we go. Clock is starting. 15 emails in 5 minutes. I selected these emails. I think they are relevant for many of our listeners, if not all of our listeners. Here we go. From Restless in Richmond. Someone dropped Mike Soroka in my 12-team league. Should I replace any of the following with Soroka? Chase Anderson, Luis Castillo, Walker Buehler, or Jeff Samardzija?
I would not.
Yeah, I think Soroka's the low guy there for me, too.
That's Anderson, Castillo, Buehler, and Sabarja. All right, Dylan, happy Kokomo Friday. Rank these hitters in terms of ownability. Kyle Seager, Conforto, David Dahl, and Longoria. Seager,
ready?
Conforto, Dahl, Longoria.
You ready for this, Dylan? You just did.
All right, Seager, Conforto, Dahl, Longoria. This is from Ken. Dear Vin, Harry, and Red, those have got to be, I don't know who they are, broadcasters? Why do I still have Conforto on my bench? Should I stash him or drop Conforto for Matt Adams, Mark Canna, Jorge Soler, or Steven Souza?
Nope.
No.
He was the second most rosterable from the last question. I mean, he's. I have concerns about him. Obviously, serious injury he's coming back from hasn't hit very well. But, you know, his upside is still very high. He's still getting on base at a high rate. Give him more of a chance than this.
Okay, try to get Soler on your team, though, but not at the expense of Conforto. From Victor, is it worth hanging on to Matt Kemp in a head-to-head points league?
Yeah.
In a head-to-head points league?
He does not play that much. His slash line is terrific, but he doesn't play that much. I was surprised to see it.
They're mostly, and it's not a strict platoon, but I feel like they're mostly using him as a lefty masher. And, you know, he's going to get hurt or set some point or do something stupid in the outfield at some point. And I don't think three outfielder leagues he's worth your time.
All right, Devin, a.k.a. Lloyd. Dear Dontrell, Hanley, Chris, and Jose, Harlan Garcia is legit. Hot take, Harlan will be a top three rookie pitcher this year and have over 100 Ks.
Why is he legit? Because I'm not seeing it.
Great command of the high and tight fastball, a sworn enemy of the flyball revolution. Not a bad point. I don't know if it's true, but...
No.
A lie is a very poor way to say hello.
I don't get that. This is from Blake. Is it time to drop Billy Hamilton or Jeff Samardzija?
I could definitely see dropping Billy Hamilton in a variety of leagues, but not a five outfielder or a roto league.
So Harlan Garcia is basically he's not a ground ball pitcher, and he's allowed a lot of hard contact, and obviously the strikeout rate is not very good. So I didn't hear the last question because I was looking up Garcia.
Is it time to drop Billy Hamilton or Jeff Samardzija?
Hamilton in a points league, but not in roto. I mean, those steals... He's going to give you a ton of steals.
He's got five so far, so he needs to get running.
He gets that batting average up over 200 anyway.
This is from Kevin. Hey, Penny, Brain, and Inspector. Heath said he was waiting until May 1st, I believe, to make a decision on Ian Happ. What's his decision on Ian Happ?
You may find that having is not so pleasing a thing as wanting.
What the hell are you doing? What are you doing, sir?
You can let him go. I think there are people that know what I'm doing.
Well, they are really enjoying this. Happ is 70% owned. I would not mind buying super low on Happ and stashing him and if I had a lot of roster spots. Shallow bench, I get it, but they are okay, whatever. From Colin, I've been stashing Walker Buehler in my minor league spot.
Sound disappointed about it, Connor.
No, I did the Buehler voice. I've been stashing Walker Buehler. Would you drop
it's
any
not
of
as
the
good as Jock Peterson?
No, it's not. Would you drop any of the following to roster Buehler? Pomeranz, Duffy, Hamels, Gausman.
I would drop Pomeranz, and I would drop Duffy if I had to.
Pomeranz?
Duffy is the one I would drop.
Pomeranz, his velocity's way down.
Give him some time. Give him some time.
I
He's
will,
made three starts.
But he can spend that time on the waiver wire. I think you're more in danger of losing Buehler.
Yeah, I think you're less danger of losing Duffy.
I think Duffy's less likely to get picked up than Pomeranz.
All right, from Wrigley Field. Hey, real quick, what are the chances Walker Buehler ends up making more of an impact this season than Shohei Ohtani?
Low.
Okay. From Austin in Peoria, Illinois. Hey, real quick, would you trade Justin Upton for Lorenzo Cain in a categories league?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay.
But I had Cain ranked ahead of Upton at the beginning of the year, so.
Yeah, I mean, I recently moved Cain ahead of Upton, but it's not, I think they're probably just right next to each other. It's not an obvious oh yeah situation. Depends what you need, etc.
Taylor from Pittsburgh. 16 team categories league. I need steals. Do you think Roman Quinn of the Phillies is a good stash? Roman Quinn.
How deep is the league?
16 teams.
I mean, it's pretty deep, but I don't see the avenue for him.
All right. From Calvin, would you swap Yu Darvish for Zach Godley?
No.
I think I actually dropped you below Godley in my rankings in my update yesterday.
Can you please start saying Darvish so it doesn't seem like you're putting me down every time you talk about him?
What do you mean?
You just said you dropped me behind Godley.
You
so know. It's like, you stink. I hate you. And I'm wondering if this is a secret message, Heath. That's all.
Adam, I would just say that insults are effective only where emotion is present.
I don't know what this is. All right.
Here's a bold take. You ready?
Uh-huh.
I've dropped Godley more than I've dropped you this year.
In rankings?
Yes. Not that I've dropped him that much.
I don't know. You is terrible.
All right. Andrew from Toronto, our last email here. I'm cutting it short. Which pitcher should I drop in a 10-team league? Alex Wood, Chase Anderson, Lucchesi, Newcomb, or Ross? Wood, Anderson, Lucchesi, Newcomb, or Ross? Drop one.
Probably Lucchesi, but I could see dropping Anderson instead.
Okay. Whew.
We're to the point where we're dropping Lucchesi? Really?
Well, did you hear those names?
Yeah, they're good names. I mean, but he's not the bottom for me. Anderson is, but he probably has a lot of trade value. Ross, I think, is the most sneakable through waivers.
Yeah, well, that's a mistake. Ross is still under.
Oh, I know. I think he's good, but he's, what, 68% owned?
Scott, any quick prospects reports? As Gleyber Torres and Ronald Acuna are often nice starts, Acuna much better, but encouraging stuff for both of them. But who's next?
Yeah, there was that big rush of prospects last week, so we're kind of flailing around for potential call-ups. But I think Willie Adames makes a lot of sense for the Rays, because it's only Adeyemi Echevarria. Man, I said that name wrong.
Adeyemi
Echevarria.
Yep.
Who's standing in his way. And yeah, he's been a big prospect for a long time. Adam is off to a really good start at AAA. The bat's finally living up to the pedigree. So he's up there. Jack Flaherty, of course, is probably the top prospect to stash. Nick Senzel, if he's healthy. Like, it's to the point where Ryan McMahon, who just got sent down and we're probably all tired of him, he's second on my minor leaguers to stash list. So if you're not interested in stashing him, you're probably not interested in stashing much of anybody.
Hey, listen, today is the day for Willie Calhoun that they could bring him up. I did read something recently that's, you know, they're going to give Guzman some run and it's not looking great for Calhoun, but I don't know. I mean, what about him?
Calhoun's been awful in the minors. Like,
but only this year. Previously.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, obviously he's a good prospect, but I don't see why they choose now to call him up, other than obviously the service time thing. Like, he hasn't earned it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, if you want to earn some money, go to sportsline.com. Use our promo code PITCH. Sign up for sportsline.com. Kentucky Derby coming right up. We have a horse racing guru, Jody Demling. He is incredible. He has nailed 9 straight Oaks Derby doubles. He's had the tickets with the winners of the Kentucky Oaks on Friday and the Derby on Saturday, 9 straight years, going for 10 in a row. Get in on that. Use the promo code PITCH, and you will get your first month on sportsline.com for just $1. And then it goes back to the regular price, which is only $9.99 a month, starting in month 2. That is very, very low. $9.99 a month for this great, great resource, sportsline.com. The promo code is PITCH. Most added and 2-star pitchers. Here we go. The most added list. Nick Kingham, Mike Soroka are 1 and 2. And somebody made a good point that really we should be saying, Mike Soroka. I guess that's a great point.
Yeah, we should start. It's up there with Luke Weaver.
Yeah, it might be better. And it's not better. Jose Peraza is 3. They're all owned about 60% of leagues. Fernando Romero, 4. Daniel Robertson. Daniel Robertson, I added a lot last week. I've already dropped him in 2 leagues. 46% owned. Is that how's that parage for Daniel Robertson? 46% owned.
It's too hot. 46 isn't very high. It's just right.
Too hot, just right. All right. It's not too low, that's for sure. Jorge Soler, another homer, and again, off a lefty. Heath, he's 46% owned. He's crushing lefties.
I wrote about Jorge Soler and Mike Minor both today, saying that we've been talking about these guys for weeks on end and how they're underowned, and they're both still underowned.
Nobody listens to us, Heath.
They do on some people. Like, we write something about a rookie starting pitcher, and he jumps to 60%.
I don't know that that has anything to do with us. I think it's just human nature reacting to the big call-up. I think we move the needle less than we think. People listen to us, but it's in one ear, out the other.
Yeah, I like Mike Minor. 40% owned. 6-8. Look, he's got a pretty high whip. You know, 1-2-4 you can deal. He's got a fairly high ERA, 4.36. But I think if you get a guy who has like a 4-ish ERA, a low 1-2 whip, like, that's a usable pitcher. And he's only 40% owned. So I mean, I'd rather have Minor than Ronaldo Lopez. How about you guys? Actually, I'm
Ronaldo
not sure
Lopez
about that.
Is bad.
Yeah, I don't think he's bad. Like,
just kidding. Like, his strikeout and walk rates are terrible individually, and obviously, you know, the strikeout to walk rate itself is also bad. So, he's a fly ball pitcher, so the home run, like all three legs of the FIP triangle, I feel like he's failing on. So, how does he have a 2-something ERA? Well, he's not going to for much longer.
We got Kyle Gibson on the most added list. Would you rather have Kyle Gibson or Ronaldo Lopez or Mike Minor?
I would rather have Minor than followed by Gibson, followed by Lopez.
I'll go Minor, Lopez, Gibson. I'm not buying into this Kyle Gibson madness.
Are you buying into Nick Markakis or Kevin Pillar?
To a degree. I mean, they're both fine hot hand plays if you have a spot to fill. And I feel like Markakis in points leagues is always a little undervalued. The fact that he's in what looks like a great lineup now should only help his skills play up. But, you know, there's not huge upside for either of these players. And I imagine, like, they're not going to become fixtures in your lineup.
It was nice to see Pillar stole his sixth base yesterday. So I think he has 2 steals in his last 3 games, something like that. Where are you, Game Log? 2 steals. Oh, 2 steals in a row.
Yep, he's 6-for-6.
Oh, no, 2 in his last 3.
Like you said, 3 were in 1 inning off a bad pitcher-catcher combo. But I mean, he can run, so hopefully he keeps running, because that would be a game-changer. That is the specific area where I see the most upside between these two players.
I know you didn't just call Gary Sanchez a bad defensive catcher, right? It was really Betances' fault.
Okay.
Gary Sanchez has a freaking cannon.
He does have a cannon.
He throws really hard. If they could just get somebody to block the balls in the dirt for him.
He's not good at that. He's
put a little bat around him.
Yeah. He almost cost them the game yesterday. I was like, I think it was ruled a wild pitch, but he's not very good at that. But man, is he good defensively. Actually, he has positive defensive metrics, I believe. He did last year, despite all the fast balls.
The problem with that is that instruments register only through things they're designed to register.
I don't get it. All right, 2-star pitchers for Fantasy Week 7. But really, like, it's really Fantasy Week 6, right? Week 6. Right, this is, yeah, okay. For next week, Kershaw, Strasburg, Carmart, Severino, Nola, Minaya, Paxton, Snell, Keuchel, Hendricks, Godley, Bundy. Let's go to Bundy. Now we're starting him against the Kansas City and Tampa Bay.
The Kansas City, yes, we are.
Michael Fulmer at Texas, home against Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Start him.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Newcomb at Tampa Bay at Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Ace Newcomb.
Ooh, all right. Here's a tough one. Now, look, John Gray is not a guy who's bad at home and great on the road. But he's got 2 home starts. He's kind of even, his splits. 2 home starts, Angels and Brewers for John Gray.
No, thank you.
I mean, the last 2 starts were so good. I think you got to do it.
I'm not going up against those 2 lineups in cores with any
DFS
starting pitcher.
DFS guy.
Any starting pitcher.
DFS guy.
Who else we got here? Where am I? There I am. Drew Pomeranz at the Yankees. And I don't know. Actually, this might not be accurate. He might not be a 2-star pitcher.
Well done.
Well, it's not my fault, if I'm being honest. Jeff Samardzija at Philadelphia and at Pittsburgh.
When the personality of a human is involved, exact predictions are hazardous. But I would probably start him.
What? Yeah, I don't know. Please reveal at the end of the show what the hell you're talking about.
I'd probably start him too.
Stroman, Seattle and Boston.
I mean, I'm not ready to trust him even if this last start was good. Maybe in a points league if I just wanted the extra start and I didn't worry about ratios.
Those are 2 good lineups. And we didn't really talk about Seattle, but that is a really good lineup. Harlan Garcia. Okay, I know you guys know. Tyson Ross, Washington, and St. Louis at home. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Tyson Ross and Luis Castillo, we already established. These are two guys you have to pick up.
Yep.
So are you comfortable starting Castillo against the Mets and at the Dodgers?
I am.
Yep.
Okay.
Like, but, how good do we think the Dodgers lineup is going to be without Seager and without Puig?
Not good. Puig will likely be back by then.
Yeah. I mean, they got to the World Series without Corey Seager last year. So there's that. I still expect the Dodgers to win the division.
I don't think they're a lineup you avoid.
They had Justin Turner.
I don't think Luis Castillo is a pitcher you, if he's as good as I think he is, I don't think he's a pitcher you play matchups with. Like, that's the thing when I bristle at some of these, oh, he has bad matchups. Like, if you believe the pitcher's good, that's the kind of pitcher that succeeds against bad matchups.
Right. Luis Castillo's given us about 6 innings this year to believe he's good.
And a lot of innings last year to believe he's good.
Okay, Fernando Romero at St. Louis and at the Angels. I think I'm going to start him in points, and it's going to really depend on who I've gotten in Roto.
That seems fair.
Lucas Giolito, Pittsburgh and at the Cubs.
I mean, we're going to say no from now on.
Yeah, all right. Right. So
We already did this exercise.
We are done.
Yeah.
Okay, that works for me. So let's take a look at today's matchups on the MLB scoreboard. Brought to you by me. Tomlin at Sabathia.
I could see taking a bath, but I'd rather not.
Nick, when was the last time you took a bath?
Yeah.
When
was I'd rather time? Not answer that.
It was this morning. It wasn't.
I'm not a bath guy.
Oh, I thought you meant bathe in any sort of way.
No.
I wasn't. Okay, the last time I took an actual bath was years ago, I'm sure.
Now I would like to know the answer to the other question, though.
Nope, not going to answer that. I am stretched pretty thin right now. Certain things have fallen by the wayside.
You don't have to be embarrassed, guy. I do not shower every day.
Well, you don't leave your house.
That's true. That's why I don't shower every day.
I shower every day and some days twice.
It has been at least 24 hours since I've showered.
I am totally fine with that. In fact, I'm not
going to say how many.
I'm not sure which podcast I revealed this on, but I went a full week without deodorant on my honeymoon.
What?
Full week. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was.
Well, if you're going to do it, the honeymoon's the time to do it.
No, that is not the time to do
it. Didn't need it. Was not a problem. Was not a problem. I'm a lucky man. I don't know what to say.
Okay. You know you don't smell that as much as other people do.
Yeah, but my wife confirmed, like, it was totally fine.
Yeah, it was honeymoon phase.
She's very nice.
Yeah. Honeymoon, it's the truth, guys. All right, Nick Pivetta at Gio Gonzalez.
I'm starting Gio for sure. I'm iffy about Pivetta.
I'd start them both.
Armand Marquez at Zach Wheeler.
I'll start Wheeler.
Would you? I wouldn't.
The Rockies are awful.
Oh, man. They still have two of the best hitters in baseball.
They are the worst rated offense in baseball.
I don't buy it.
They also were last year.
What?
No, they were not the worst.
They were the worst rated offense in baseball. They made the playoffs on the strength of their pitching.
On the strength of their ballpark.
No. That's
everybody played in their ballpark.
They were a below average offense last year.
I know, but if they were worse than all the offenses they were going up against at their ballpark, they would have been bad at home, and they weren't. That's ridiculous.
They're a bad offense.
No, they're not.
They are an absolute.
Well, they don't have DJ LeMahieu.
That's the stupidest thing you've ever heard.
Yes.
That's the defense?
They're one of the best.
You are wrong.
Look, they basically have two good players right now because they don't have LeMahieu, and they're on the road. It's all Arenado and Blackman.
I mean, Trevor Story's a good hitter.
He's good at home. He's usually pretty terrible on the road.
Well, be that as it
may. I'm not sure I'm starting Wheeler, but.
I wouldn't call them a favorable.
Statistically,
matchup.
They are a below average offense and have been for 2 years.
Weigh-in Chen at Sal Romano. That's no.
Ridiculous. I don't know what stats you're looking at, but that's ridiculous.
We're not starting Chen or Sal Romano, right?
No.
Start Jay Happ. What about Andrew Kittredge? No.
No.
Chris Stratton at Mike Foltynewicz.
I'll start Folty.
Yeah.
Rick Porcello at Bartolo Colon.
I'll start Porcello for sure. Not Colon.
Nick Kingham at Junior Guerra.
No, thank you.
Could be fun to roll the dice on Kingham. That could be fun. It's not automatic.
Jose Berríos at Carson Fulmer.
Start Berríos.
Yep.
Jose Quintana at Miles Michaelis.
Start both.
Yep.
Liriano at Ian Kennedy. Ooh, Liriano.
Yeah, I'd start Liriano against the Royals.
He kind of owns the Royals, I think, but I would not start him.
Walker Buehler, Joey Lucchesi.
Lucchesi, I'm fine with. Bueller, I'm fine with, given the matchup.
Is this the Mexico game?
Yes.
I have not looked. I'm just afraid that's like Coors Field.
Well, it's in, where did we decide it was?
Monterey.
Monterey, which is not, you know, it's not the extreme elevation of like Mexico City. It's, you know, it's a quarter of a mile high.
Yeah.
Or a third of a mile high, something like that. But
what's the answer?
Yeah,
Bueller and Lucchesi.
I think I'd start
both.
I mean, it's a little more dangerous, but whatever. I like to live dangerously.
Garrett Cole, Chris Medlin. Yeah, no Medlin. Yes, Cole.
Right.
No Cashner, no Daniel Mangdon, and Garrett Richard. Oh, actually, am I right? No Cashner, no Mangdon?
You're right.
Yeah.
Garrett Richards at Mike Leake.
I'd start Richards.
Yeah, I would hesitantly.
And do Har Binks. That's a good one. That's a good one. And last team name is Jabba the Hutt Hike. And Heath, what the hell were you talking about on today's show?
I would like for everyone that knows what I was doing to tweet Adam. At Adam Acer.
Oh, that's, thank you. Oh,
nobody's going to tweet him.
Yes, they are going to tweet me. Thank you, Heath, for sending me off into the weekend with that. All right, for Scott and Heath, thank you for listening on this Kokomo Friday. And we'll be back on Monday with... Bye.